This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Well, you can't have home games.
Well, that's what I think.
You got to black out those home games.
To George's point, though, like if every NFL game is on television in your home market, yes, there's fewer of them unless the blackout NFL rules. But
I think we actually did do away with those, right?
I think they did.
I think they're wrong.
But
I mean, Titans games didn't get blacked out, but I don't know if they're blacked out in Nashville.
But the advertisement is great, and I'm coming from the wrestling perspective that I bring to this radio station. Like, you look back at Channel 5 Wrestling when it was at its peak, right? Action News 5. And you go back, the deal there, like, wrestling did not pay to be on the air. Channel 5 did not pay them to be on the air. It was an advertisement for the Monday night show. Like, that's what
Coliseum,
it was. Like,
yeah.
So you do the show. Channel 5 got the revenue from the ads and then from the commercials. But then the whole show was basically a commercial for the wrestling to get people to come out for Monday night. And that's where they sold their tickets and that's where they made their money. So, like, it is a commercial. Like, if the being able to access and see this, if people are not seeing your games or not seeing you everywhere, and that includes the restaurants, as we said, it's become very complicated to get on the TVs at the restaurants around town, then you're not you. It, when you're a local team like this, it matters to feel like you are what is happening, and everybody's invested in it, and it is going on right now, and everybody's paying attention. And if they can't find it and have to, it's a complicated. I'm excited about it. I'm going to tune in tonight, and also Jeffrey, I will try to find Chicago Fire.
Yeah.
Give a report
See if it's on Peacock right after on Peacock on Thursday.
Tomorrow, yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into what I believe to be the definitive Tony Allen airplane story, O.J. Mayo. I've got that coming up next. We'll also talk a little bit more from the world of sports, then C.J. Hurt coming up during hour number two. Stick around. You're listening to Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Coming up in about 20 minutes, C.J. Hurt of Grind City Media is going to join the program. We'll discuss some of the Grizzlies topics we've been talking about with him. Also, Grizzlies and Jazz tonight, pregame 6:30. Tip off with Eric at 7 p.m. Before we do that, let's get into the list. Tony Allen. Yes, it is, of course, Tony Allen week here in the city. Chris Harrington has a bunch of great features. He's got a really good feature up over at the Daily Memphian. Also, Saturday night against the Miami Heat, he will have his jersey retired. But included in Chris's piece on TA that's available today is the story of the infamous plane flight. I don't know if, Kevin, I don't know if it qualifies as, I think there's only one plane flight from hell, right?
Right. The WWE
Correct.
One, yes. But,
there
could be more than one.
The infamous plane flight.
This is the Grizzlies. We plane right from hell. Whatever. Yeah.
And Jeff and Chris were discussing it this morning, and I was contacted after the show from, I'll keep it as vague as possible, somebody that would know. Here's what happened. So, O.J. Mayo was cleaning everybody's clock in cards on the plane flights. Not just this one night. He had been cleaning up, killing everybody, taking their money, and dominating the game. As it was told to me, to the best of this person's recollection, this was after an L.A. trip. It was the flying back from L.A., and they did not fly immediately following the game. So they played the game, went out, and then flew back the next day. So everybody was already, they got after it, is what I was told.
In rare form.
Correct. It sounded like everybody on the flight. In this particular game of cards, I should say, Tony was absolutely racking up and taking all of OJ Mayo's money, even to the point where every gambler can relate. OJ in his head probably says, I'm too good of a gambler, even if I'm down. I'm just going to start betting more. I'll bet more. Eventually, the cards will come my way. So it eventually gets to the point where it's time to settle up. And OJ, probably because he was a sore loser, announced, I'm not paying. To TA. To the best of my understanding,
he just says.
But also not in the fashion of, hey, listen, I don't have all the money. I started betting money I don't have. I'll get you. I've got money back in Memphis. I'll get you. Everyone that's kind of been in this spot, if you gamble off the record, you've been in this spot where I'm good for it. Just trust me. I'll take care of it. Never established. T.A. did not like that and made his feelings known. So T.A. gets up and's going to go to the bathroom and probably thinking cooler heads are going to prevail. Hey, everyone that's around the players, no one is on edge at this point. To which O.J. Mayo then calls T.A. a witch that rhymes with B, or starts with B.
Okay, uh-oh.
And as Lionel said, there wasn't a fight because it was over. T.A. one-punched O.J. Mayo, cold cock knockout. So there was no fight because literally it was a one and done.
Wow.
I believe it was announced that OJ missed the game with bronchitis, but as it was said to me, OJ missed the game because his eye was sealed shut. Now, should we condone violence? I have no idea. With that being said, I think the juice was asking for it. There were a lot of ways that situation could have been diffused. It was also said to me, this happened so quickly that even Zeebo, who was near, did not sound that like Zeebo was participating in the game, but was sitting next to the game. It happened so fast, he didn't even have time to like step in between and be like, whoa, hey now.
So hey now. Yeah.
This is the question, though, that we didn't have time for in Buy, Sell, Short, or Go to Reddit. But I was thinking about this. Because Gary Parrish once wrote on a column at CBS Sports that Zeebo really fit the mantra of this city. But I've started to wonder, as time has passed, of the core four, is Tony Allen actually the most Memphis?
The most Memphis. And this is one of those things that, you know, quote precedent, depends on how, you know, depends.
I mean, it's a broad definition, and it can mean certain things to certain people.
He's up there. That's what I think was really an underrated part of the core four, because I think you can argue.
I think you can argue everyone except Mike.
Yeah,
and we all collectively love Mike, But yeah, it feels like Mike's,
as far as the most Memphis, right? Who's the most Memphis? The three of the four, you can really think they're Memphis. And Mark more so because of...
I was going to say, two are a spirit in Tony and Zebo. One is literally went to high school here.
Right, exactly. So, like, you can't deny that because there are so many different... What, another great thing about Memphis, right? This great city they were living. Like, there is other... There's certain things that make great Memphians, and sometimes it's hard to pinpoint exactly what it is, right? But also, like, if you're from here, that thing, that is a big part of your card, right?
So we still count Sybil Shepherd.
Right.
Who I believe lived in Malibu for 40 years now.
We still do count her. We count everybody. If you've
Kathy Bates.
Right. Kathy Bates.
The one that seems weird to me is there seems to be a blurred definition. It seems like there are a lot of people that don't like that Timberlake only uses Memphis when it's convenient.
And I disagree.
Go ahead. Because I'm with you.
No, I just watched the other day on some suggested social media thing, you know? It was a video of Timberlake. I guess he was on the Mickey Mouse Club when he was on there saying, this is where I'm from. And it was Memphis, right? And
he's giving the tour. He goes to Mud Island, which is back in the news.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah,
I've seen this video.
He was claiming Memphis back then. He's like, I'm from Millington. He explains it. If you're from Millington, and a lot of it is like, there's some confusion of people. And, you know, the Midtown is Memphis people. But, like, if you're from Millington.
Your boy might have had a Midtown is Midtown bumper sticker.
But, like, I love Midtown. But if you're from Millington, you're from Memphis. If you're from DeSoto County, you're from Memphis. You know, I believe that. If you're from Marion, Arkansas, you're from Memphis. If you get the Grizzlies game tonight, if you have an antenna at your house and you can watch the Grizzlies game, you are from Memphis.
Okay, but we agree. If you're from Jackson, you're not from
Memphis. Some of the other cities, but if you're watching on Channel 5. What?
If you're from Jackson, you're not from Memphis, though. We agree on that, right?
From Jackson, Tennessee.
Yes.
It becomes once you get into a different if you have your own TV station that services your area. So that would be like Tupelo is too far. Tupelo, you're not. Like, as much as I was driving down to Tupelo to do some bingo and was listening to Eric Hasseltine call the game a few weeks ago. And I lost 92.9. It's like, oh, I can still get it on 680. Had it for a minute. But like, once you get out of the market, you're out of the market. But I usually base it on TV. If Todd Demers is telling you a severe storm is coming, then you're from Memphis. That's how I base it. But Millington is even closer than all of those. There's a lot of Memphians because DeSoto County is a different state. It's like you're not from the area. But I mean, you're from Memphis. You're from Memphis if you live in DeSoto County.
Yeah, I view it a lot like when you're in the situation that we're in, we need numbers. I've always equated this to, you know, there's always this general thought of, is Texas the South?
And it is. It's a unique, right?
Well, I've always said, what's the situation? Am I here in Memphis? Because if I'm here in Memphis, no, Texas is Texas. Like, yeah, you say y'all, they have twang, but Texas is its own thing.
If I'm in
a room full of Californians talking bad about the South, I need numbers. And you know what I had a lot of?
Numbers.
In California? I had numbers in Texans. There were so many Texans. And I was like, all right, come on in. Like, I gave them Southern cred. It's like, we just got to start pushing
they're
back
in the,
on
I
this.
I mean, they're in the SEC now. But correct. Yeah. But they're unique. Like, Florida and Texas are both, right? They're most, if you're talking about who's from the South or not, like, they're the most unique
Southern
state.
Well, the problem with Florida is Florida is, like, three
both
different.
In the South.
Well, Florida's three different states in one. Like, if we're talking about the panhandle, the panhandle's the South. The only thing separating the panhandle from Alabama is an imaginary map imaginary line on the map. Mm. But if we're talking about like
technically a bar,
Miami,
technically a bar called Florabama.
Like, but Miami is not the South,
but it is.
But then you have like the middle of the state, that is like Orlando, Tampa. It's like I don't know. Like Jacksonville's got kind of a pretty good Southern vibe. It's like a military town.
Right. No, I'm the Memphis thing. The Justin Timberlake's from Memphis. You watch his video. He, since a very young age, Memphis is his town, right?
Yeah. And
you're from the suburban area here, you can claim Memphis because you are from Memphis. It's the big city. That's if you go out of town, if you go on a vacation and somebody's like, well, where are you from? You're not going to say, well, I'm from Bartlett. You're going to say you're from Memphis because people know what that is.
Correct. And also,
that's where you're from.
I can't help that my parents wanted my brother to play on a specific baseball team, so moved to Germantown when I was in fifth grade.
Exactly.
But so, I did annoy
but you're
me.
You're from Memphis.
But it did annoy me when I went to.
There's that imaginary line.
Well, right when I went to college at freshman orientation, yeah. And it says Jeffrey Wright, Germantown, Tennessee. And I always tell people I'm from Memphis. They're like, wait, what? I was like, literally, it's like it's the suburb right there. Like, I had no problem with this. I've moved to the city. Like, I like that's how I feel. But also, this would be my larger.
Most Memphis.
Well, this is my point. To the this is what I would say to the utmost. If you're someone that believes, like, you're not from, if you went to high school in Germantown, you say you're not from Memphis, this is what I would say. We are in no position to turn people away. If we have people that want to claim it, we need it. We need numbers. We're recruiting. We're beefing up.
But it's from the, yeah.
Let's build a consensus. Let's not divide.
Right. You're from the area. And in most cases, I feel like and I'm not, you know, familiar with around the country. It is always unique, I guess, when you have the state lines. It gets a lot more confusing.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of places in the country that have that. But to get back to Zebo, you have Zebo, Tony Allen, and Mark Gasol are all very three people that connected with this city in ways that none of them born here, right? None of them born here. But all three of them, and Mike is, we love Mike too. He's got to have his time to shine, right? His moment in the sun here with his jersey, that number 11. Until the number 11 goes up, like people can still wear 11. It hasn't been retired yet, right?
It has not been retired yet because he's still playing. But I mean,
you could wear it.
To your point,
but
the most, even though it had been previously announced that Mike was going to be at Mark's jersey retirement, they did a good job of keeping him off the camera, even though the buzz around the building was Mike's here, yeah. Mike's here. That moment, though, when they did the walkout with the four of them and you see Mike leading the pack, like that was Goosebump City. So like it's not
and he
this
does,
is not something against Mike, but
Mike and also he's still playing. So like what is Mike's post career going to be like? Is he going to spend more time in Memphis? Right now he's like he's playing for other NBA teams. So like he's not around. A part of the reason we've been seeing a lot of Zebo and Tony did not play too much longer after they left the Grizzlies, and they've been around a lot, and that also has helped. But also their personalities, their stories you hear about them are stories that you might hear about other people that you know or have encountered in this city, and that's what I think helped us connect with them. But to me, the most underrated, it's great when you have an NBA team that is successful and their personalities are fantastic, but the way that they just feel like they connected with the city, that's also not guaranteed in your success. And this Grizzlies team will see. I mean, there's definitely a connection, but is the connection going to be as strong as we felt like we had with those four players? And I'll throw Mike in there, but he's number four on the most Memphis list at the moment.
I think I will go with the answer is actually yes, and here's why. In general, like to me, Zebo became an underdog simply because of choices, but Zebo was always viewed as an elite talent. And so when he
was
got
given up on.
Correct.
He was given up on.
Correct. But I would argue a lot of that was his own doing. Tony Allen truly is underdog player. And I think that we acknowledge while the city has attributes, it is still going to be an underdog city. And then to me, honestly, the last tie goes to the runner. Zebo's here a lot. TA lives here.
But and you look at TA lives here. But Zebo pays his MLGW bill.
Correct.
No, does he? I don't know.
Maybe.
But I made that up.
He might have paid his legal.
But he does pay some people's MLGW. Tony Allen, what is special about Tony? You know, and there's going to be so much reflection, and there's a lot of things special about Tony Allen. But, like, of the core four, I mean, three of those guys are, like, all-stars, right? And then there's Tony Allen.
Everyone is an all-star except T.A. T.A. made six times made all-defense.
Like, but he's getting his jersey retired. This guy's not an all-star player, but he is an all-star player. Like, to the city, he's an icon and a legend.
The only place Tony Allen would have his jersey retired in the NBA is Memphis.
It's right here. And that's why maybe that is why he is the most Memphis of the players. But he's getting his jersey retired. He deserves it. As far as the four players, without question, nationally and worldwide, he's the least known of those four. Like, it's not even close. probably Tony Allen's. He's number four on who's most recognizable of the core four. But he inside the league. I mean, you got Kobe. Like if you watch the documentary, there's Kobe on the Tonight Show saying the toughest defender he's ever been against is Tony Allen. Like inside the league, he's got a different type of reputation. So it's awesome to see the guy who really is. Zeebo talks about blue collar town and all that. Tony's that blue collar player. Getting his jersey retired on Saturday. It's gonna be an awesome moment. I honestly want to see more of Tony. I want to see. We talk about the broadcast being on Channel 5 tonight. Why have we not seen Tony in the broadcast booth more? I love the broadcast team, but I want to see some Tony. I want to see some Tony games. I want to see Tony.
Well, I mean, the problem is like
the Tony cast. A Tony cast
for home games. There's not a seat. Like if you look, like if you ever seen like where Pete and Brevin are, they stand, they're shoulder to shoulder.
Not enough seats. Okay, that could be it. You're right.
That's
that
a huge part of it.
Somebody's got to be out.
And I think he's been on pre and post before, and then he does all the Grind City appearances.
I want a Tony cast.
All right, quickly, Rich Rod. All right, West Virginia coach Rich Rodriguez, like all football coaches, wants his players to show up on time, work hard, and play their best. And according to the Associated Press, another thing, don't dance on TikTok. Quote, they're going to be on it, so I'm not banning them from it. I'm just banning them from dancing on it. It's like, look, we try to have a hard edge or whatever, and you're out there in your tights dancing on TikTok. Ain't quite the image of our program that I want. Gentlemen, I propose to the committee, do we stand with Rich Rod? Not banning the players from TikTok, but banning TikTok dancing.
I thought... TikTok bans is a big trend right now, right?
I felt like that was like a crisis like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I think we've moved on.
We've moved on, but not now. Not Rich Rod. He's banning. He's
no, he's not banning TikTok.
He's banning dancing on TikTok.
Correct.
It's very much, so he's doing it, from what I understand, is to keep the image of the players being tough.
He wants his players to be tough.
And so it's just like, makes you think of like wrestling, right? For how long did we see the Undertaker was always the Undertaker, right?
Yes.
Like if you're Undertaker, you couldn't see the Undertaker while he was active, right? And undefeated at WrestleMania. Would you see the Undertaker on TikTok doing a dance? That would be bad for his gimmick. That would be bad. Undertaker, you wouldn't believe it as much. It'd be hard to suspend your disbelief that the Undertaker is dead man. Literally a guy who is dead.
You think Brock Lesnar was on TikTok dancing? All right, I want George's opinion.
That's what I'm saying.
Jimmy Younger. So I think he's at least going to be more sympathetic to the other side. So what is your ruling?
So before, you know, it was clarified that it was only the dances.
Only dancing.
Only dancing. If it's only dancing, I have absolutely no problem with him saying, hey guys, do whatever else you guys want on here, just no dancing. My counterpoint was, look at some of the other sports and some of these other young athletes, namely to me, Jared McCain, now of the Sixers, had a lot of brand deals, a lot of money-making opportunity, and did a lot of that via TikTok and other social media.
Okay.
Let me tell you an old story, Jeffrey, about a little town in Beaumont. Have you ever heard of Beaumont, Utah, right? You ever heard
of that? I thought you were about to say Texas. I have heard of Beaumont, Texas. I did not know Beaumont, Utah was a thing. Continue.
This is a little town that outlawed dancing. You ever seen Footloose? You ever seen Footloose?
I have.
Yeah.
I do like
that. This reminds me of Footloose here.
All right. I'm down with Rich Rod. I stand with Rich Rod, and here's why.
You stand? I don't think the football player needs the gimmick. I think it's going to be bad for recruiting and all of that. You don't want to be...
I don't think he's recruiting the guys that want to dance. If you've watched the Rich Rod offense, they're going to run the ball. I don't know, George. You were drumming... Right, you were playing in the band for one of the Rich Rod years, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Sadly,
they're gonna run the football, and to run the football, you gotta be physical. And I just point to this: Jared McCain may be on TikTok, Jalen Carter on TikTok, another Philadelphia athlete.
True.
I'm with him. He's not banning him. I don't know how enforceable this is. Like, what's the punishment? Running stairs. And also, I would argue this because I will concede there is a little of, well, they can make money off of it now. If the only thing preventing you from making money is dancing on TikTok, you're not that talented to begin with.
Absolutely fair. Like, that's my thing. It's less about the dancing, because at first I thought he was saying, which, because again, that would be a very Rich Rod thing to do, to say no TikTok, period.
I also just thought of an actual benefit, what I would tell the guys, which is this. I just gave you the world's greatest excuse, because when your girlfriends want to do a dumb TikTok dance that you want no part of, but you feel obligated to do, I've just given you the blanket excuse. Sweetie, I'd love to do this for you. But
Coach said no.
I'll get punished. Like, what if I get benched? Like, if I get benched, you're not dating me. Like, let's be real.
You lost me, brought me back in.
I'm just saying, we're right
back
there.
In.
All right, let's talk some Grizzlies, and we'll do that next with CJ Hurt of Grind City Media. Stick around, you'll see Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
CJ Hurt's a Grind City Media personality. You can always see him weekdays on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt. Also, the HBCU Huddle. Follow him on Twitter on X at ConRadicalness. All right, CJ, one of your all-time favorite coaches.
Wait,
go ahead.
Hey, turn that back up. That's my jam. And it's perfect weather outside.
Little Real World?
Window down. Oh, yes. Come on. I love me some Best Matchbox 20.
That is Matchbox 20. And I can't remember if it was last summer or the summer before. They played live at the Garden, and I felt bad for them because, like, I was kind of wondering, was like, what's Matchbox going to be like as they're in their 50s? And they were, like, leaving it all on the floor. But Live at the Garden's that weird thing where all the people that pay all the money that basically support Live at the Garden, they're up front. And so, like, they're putting on a great show, and, like, the atmosphere was just negative, like, infinity.
It's a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Where all the money is there, but all the fans aren't there.
Correct.
You got to find a way to get the fans closer.
Got to get
my man finna scream, right? Yeah! Come on, man.
Wasn't it?
I think do you hope to learn down here?
Nailed it.
That's my jam right there.
Nailed it.
Man,
I think it was Billy Joel that used to say like his pit seats were always the cheapest because he didn't want to get filmed and have like that situation. So I enjoyed that. All right, one of your all time favorite coaches, Rich Rod.
Well, I'm wondering, CJ, would you dance to this song on TikTok?
Yes.
Is the question.
How do you feel about the TikTok dancing ban?
I don't do the TikTok dances. So no, I'm not dancing to this song or any other song. I am, when I hang up the phone with you guys, I'm going across the bridge. I'm going to go to the casino over on that side in West Memphis. And I'm going to place some money on West Virginia to win the Big 12. I like it. It's going to be some toughness at West Virginia, perceived or otherwise. But they're going to be tough. I like that. No, get all these funny-ass kids with these weird-ass dances off my damn football team. You want to dance? You want to play football? You can't do both. You can't name me a good football player who's been out there doing them dances.
I'm with you entirely. Rich Rod wants to run the football, and if you want to run the football, you've got to be physical. More importantly, I need receivers that block. I'm betting there's a strong correlation between receivers that have elite TikTok dancing skills and receivers that are willing to go dig out the safety.
I cannot disagree more. I think you should be. Banning dancing on TikTok?
I also, CJ, I said
dancing. This isn't Footloose, Kevin. He's saying you guys can dance all you want to.
It's the modern day Footloose.
It's not a modern day Footloose. They ban dancing in the whole damn city, not just on camera. Rich Rod said, "Hey, dance in the locker room. If that's what you want to do. Just don't do it on TikTok."
Well, you think he allows dancing in the locker room as well?
Oh yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, celebration. Yeah, you let the boys.
You have to win.
You let the boys celebrate. Yeah.
No dancing before the game.
No, absolutely no dancing before the game. There should be only violent music played before games. Pick your choice of genre, gangster rap or like punk rock, whatever it is that gets you hype and excited, play that. But outside of that, none of that requires dancing to listen to. And nobody should talk in the locker room either. Everybody shut the hell up. It's game time.
Wait, they got sports gambling at the Southland? Greyhound Park?
Yeah, right?
Yeah!
Do they? Okay.
Yeah! Why do you think they got rid of the dog tracks?
I knew they have a sports book there. They do have a sports book?
No, I haven't been.
No. I mean, CJ knows.
Hey, it's a nice sports book.
Tell him CJ
said. Y'all hadn't been since they upgraded?
No. I mean, they've upgraded so many times over the years. But
yeah, you got to remember, we've gone through a lot of iterations of Southland. But, I mean, since they built the new tower, everything. I mean, everyone that has gone has said it is very nice. But I did not know they had a sports book.
Yeah, you used to walk into the Southland, and it smelled like old and depression and desperation. Now you walk in there, it smells like hope and opportunity. It's all nice and well lit up, like, When you used to walk in there, you used to have to walk through a crowd of cigarette smoke past all the old people, right? Now when you walk in, it's bright. The air inside is better than the air outside from a quality standpoint. They got great restaurants. The buffet is a banger as well. As long as you got the Buffalo slots, I'm in there as a general rule of thumb as it pertains to like casinos. But on top of all of the slot machines and everything going on, there, you also have the daggum sports book, and that's where I go.
All right, the other thing I want to discuss with you. So,
I'm getting a text that they make you pay for your drinks over there, though, CJ.
Yeah.
That's business.
Yeah, we
all got bills to pay.
Yeah,
as long as you know the rules going in.
Like, yeah,
just don't surprise me. Like, that's all
you
I care.
Pay full price for your drinks? You're going to pay $7 to $8 for a drink? More than that? $10? $11?
Buy one, get one at full price?
Yeah, you're going to have to do that. But look, I'm trying to come back on drinking anyway. I'm just here.
Oh, well, there we go. Yeah, all right, so it's helping you out. Yeah,
that's what I'm here for.
Healthy lifestyle, yeah.
I would also argue they might be doing you a service. I'd like to see my gambling record.
Exactly.
Because, like,
there's a reason why
you're never
going to
be stone cold sober, but, like, I would imagine it's like a lot of, there's some activities, like, you know, you get a 3-beer buzz and you're probably playing a little looser, but there's definitely a law of diminishing returns there.
Absolutely. I know 3-beer buzz, your boy's playing those penny slots and I'm hitting that quarter every single time. I'm done with the penny. Give me that full quarter, man. Throw that George Washington at it. But sober, I play the penny slots. One line only. 1 cent. Let's go. Turn this 5 into 7, baby. Let's get it.
Okay, but what I'm wondering about this story, about banning TikTok, or dancing,
not,
I'm sorry.
Banning TikTok dancing.
I'm so used to TikTok being banned just, you know, nationwide. But you can't dance on it. You think it's gonna help the football team? It won't hurt recruiting or anything like that. It will be used against them. Like, hey, he's restricting what you can and cannot do on social media.
Kevin, you go out there. We'll be two different football programs. You go out there and build your football program around dudes on the tickety tock doing the dances. I'll build my program around dudes with their hands in the mud getting dirty.
So you said, right? Like,
we'll see which one comes out on top.
This should be the new format for the NBA All-Star game. We should have
TikTok dancers and TikTok dancers.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. There you go. Yeah, they need something.
That'll be good.
Like, so you keep figuring out a way. How do you divide it up? The players that dance on TikTok, players that don't dance on TikTok.
I don't think it matters as much in the NBA. I don't think it matters as much in basketball. As opposed to football.
Well, the All-Star game does not matter.
You're not trying to push people out of the way in basketball.
Right. You can't. Football, you are. And so if I'm
with those dance skills, you could be dancing around them, right? Find your way to the end zone.
Kevin, you've seen Little Giants. You know it's all about intimidation. How am I supposed to be intimidated by you and I'm seeing you in your trousers and your drawers doing the weird little funny little TikTok dances looking real cute and stuff?
Did I just watch a clip from that the other day? I think. Is Little Giants the one with the kid like the kid carries a refrigerator on his back?
Yes. Is that Spike? It's either Spike or Buzz. I forget.
Yeah, it's Spike.
Yeah, that's what Spike does. And then the Little Giants, they're playing the Cowboys and they look around and they say, hey, it's time for a little intimidation. And
but there was no TikTok.
Yeah, it was Alka-Seltzer tablets.
They put Alka-Seltzer tablets in their mouth, Kevin, and they bite down on it, and it looks like they're foaming at the mouth pre-snap. Right, that's what football is about. And you can't be intimidating if you're dancing in your drawers on TikTok.
But they didn't have TikTok then when Little Giants was out, right? And those are kids.
I guarantee you nothing to Little Giants.
I thought it was the perfect metaphor.
Because it's all about intimidation.
It's a perfect metaphor.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
All right, the other thing I wanted to discuss with you. Do we know, so we know tonight's game is going to be simulcasted on WMC. Is it literally as simple as if I have DirecTV, if I have Comcast, if I go to our NBC affiliate, is that where the game is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you got rabbit ears?
Well, no, I mean, so I didn't know if this was going to be, because now everything has like the alternate channel, and I didn't know, because we're also wondering, like, you know, how upset are the fans of One Chicago on Wednesday nights on NBC? Oh. How surprised are they going to be? But to me, like,
we're stunned.
we gotta have Eric. No, it's not Eric. So it's Pete, right? It's Pete. So Pete's got to work. He needs to work at some references tonight. Like, the Grizzlies are on fire. They need to call the Chicago Med. And
it would have been perfect if they were playing the Bulls. That would have been perfect, because then you could have lied like, hey, this is a crossover episode, right?
Yeah.
Here.
Right.
Well, honestly, like, I'm happy with the Jazz, because this is kind of the other thing I was going to bring up with you. So now as we're, you know, Taylor Jenkins may not be looking at the standings, but let's be real. We are. These are the types of games where I think they have to simply, like, take care of business. If you look at the remaining schedule, they're going to have 6 games in which they're going to be heavily favored. Honestly, if you take care of business in that and take care of business at home, I think the 2 is still very much there. But if you do that, I know this, you're not sliding lower than where you are. And to me, like, that's kind of where, tonight, like, is tonight important in the grand scheme of things? No, but these are the games that I feel like where you, like, you got your opportunities, you just got to get it done.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It would be nice. It's been a while since we've seen this Grizzlies team beat the hell out of somebody.
Yeah.
It would be nice if that happened tonight. But to your point, just go out there and take care of business. Just win the game, and just have that business like approach to it. Don't overlook them. Don't think, oh, they're trying to tank. They got all these guys out. Even if those guys were playing, they still wouldn't be very good. So if those guys who should be playing aren't playing, and they aren't good when they're playing, everybody behind them must be terrible. You can't have that thought. Go out there, jump on them early. Take it away from them. Take their hope and desire. I want them to look up in the third quarter, midway through it, and I want everybody to do that, you know, silent gentleman's agreement that we see from time to time in sports, where it's like, ah, y'all are much better than we are. Y'all are beating us by 20. we're going to lay down. We're not going to keep fighting this. And just take it away from them early, as opposed to them looking up two or down three. Like, oh, we can win this game. Like, just take it away from them early. Jump all over them early. And let's call it an easy win. That would be great, ideal. But if you just win for the reasons you said, Jeffrey, if you just win, take care of business, beat the teams you're supposed to beat, you're not falling behind where you are. And what's very, very important, the most important thing, isn't necessarily the first-round matchup. You're going to get a tough first-round matchup regardless. It's, hey, in that second-round matchup, can you avoid the Thunder? Because them dudes is really, really good. So you want to be wherever you got to be, two or three, to avoid having to play Oklahoma City in a potential second-round matchup.
No, I'm with you completely. Okay, the other thing I wanted to discuss with you, we've been talking about Ja's mood, up and down, up and down. Has he turned a corner? Because the comments that he made to Harrington and to Tim McMahon post-game Friday in Dallas, I was like, that's exactly what I wanted to hear, which is, I can be frustrated. I can let it impact my mood, but I can't bring my teammates down with me. That's not being a good leader. I really feel like the last week of Ja Morant has been significantly better on the leadership front.
Yeah, sure. No.
You're not ready to buy in fully?
No, because
he like played
it's easy. It's easy to do when you're playing well and winning. Yeah. Right? Like that's easy to do. And I'll be honest with you, I know he's the leader or a leader on the team. I know what he means to this team. I think he's the greatest closer in the NBA right now that we have. I want the best player on my team to be visibly upset at the end of losing games, at the end of games where he doesn't play well, not necessarily during the game. I don't want those moments of frustration to manifest during games because they manifest and then they lend itself to him being frustrated, yelling at the referees as the opponent is running right by him in the transition and you're putting your team at a disadvantage. I don't want that, but I'm fine with somebody sulking, pouting, having a mood, almost brooding in a locker room after a poor performance that leads to a loss or after a loss outright, right? I'm fine with that. I don't think he's turned a corner because I think this is what he is. I think he's such a competitor that when things aren't going his way, when he's losing games or he's not playing as well as he thinks he should be playing, it bothers him. It irks him to no end. It makes him upset. And in that, he finds the ways to get better, right? Like, I don't like this feeling. What can I do better to avoid it the next time out? And he makes the adjustments, makes the changes necessary to be a better basketball player. I'm fine with them sulking in locker rooms after losses.
CJ, I totally agree with you. You're right. You're right on, my man. We appreciate it.
Hey, Kevin, it's all about intimidation, baby. Get you some alpha.
I'm intimidated.
Set the tone, baby. Set the tone.
You've set the tone. Set the tone.
That is CJ Hurt of Grind City Media. All right, George, I think we're up against it, so let's hit the music. Is that right? All right, Kevin, for today's Don't Tell The Story, tell your story. This is a former co-host submission. Mark Giannotto sent this to me via X.com, X, the everything app. Toby Lawall on Virginia Tech's season. Quote, they thought we were going to be ass. I mean, we were still ass, but, you know, we weren't that bad. We were still ass, but not that bad.
Yeah.
That was like a little ass.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Not a lot of it.
Former co-host submissions.
Mm-hmm.
But Mark's got a story coming out.
He's got a story coming out this weekend on the selection process. So everybody be on
that's
the
lookout.
That's
going to be very, very important. Very, very important for the Tiger fans.
Want to thank CJ Hurt for joining the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.